Let the praises of God, hallelujah, be sounded here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah. It's not like our God. Come on, He was introduced to us, hallelujah, in a manger. And they called Him, this is Emmanuel, hallelujah. This is Emmanuel that you will know, hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Hallelujah. At that moment, I want you to know in history, at that moment, this is what, from generations to generations, waiting for this moment in history, is whenever God gave His Son, the Messiah would come, and He would introduce His Son to the world. And that we would know Him, not from afar off anymore, but we would know Him as Emmanuel, God with us. Not from God far away, or not with God from somebody else to us, but no, God with us. God with me. That I can know Him as my God. That I can walk with Him as my God. God with us. Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You that I can know You as my God. Emmanuel. God with us. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God is with you. Whether you know it or not, or whether you like it or not, God is with you. As much as He's with me, hallelujah. As much as He's with the praise team, He's with you. So give Him praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Children may go to their classes. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. That song, as we hear those words, your praise ever be on my lips. Hallelujah. We choose what comes forth out of our mouth. We choose what we declare. We choose, hallelujah. We speak the truth, hallelujah. We speak the words. We declare it out of our mouth. And come on, amen. I just want us just to focus on that and realize that, man, there's power in our words. Let the praises of God, hallelujah, resound in me. Let the heart, my heart be, hallelujah, be saturated with the giving glory to God and praise to His name and honor to Him. And not missing moments, not taking hope, not losing a moment without grasping and understanding how much God loves me and how much God is with me and He guides me and He directs me. Let nothing steal my joy. Don't let anything rob me from understanding that God's with us. Hallelujah. Every day we're invaded or we're sometimes overcome by things. But let the praises of God be in your lips. Let the praises of God sound. Hallelujah. Let them be declared. Hallelujah. Let the enemy know. Hallelujah. That you're a warrior. That you're a worshiper. Hallelujah. Let the walls fall down. Hallelujah. As you lift up your voice, something begins to happen. As praise arises, the enemy scatters. Hallelujah. Walls come down. Chains are broken. In the midnight hour, hallelujah, Paul began to worship God. And the chains began to fall off. Hallelujah. He didn't do anything but worship. And the chains fell off. The doors opened up. Hallelujah. The guards got saved. Hallelujah. They got set free. And his whole house got set free. Because why? Because they began to never, hallelujah, let the praises of God not come forth out of their mouth. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to take the one thing that's so powerful that you have a weapon. Hallelujah. That weapon, not of flesh, but of spirit. And it comes from your mouth as you begin to declare. As you honor God, something happens. Something begins to take place in the atmospheres. Something begins to be stirred. Hallelujah. And that's why I will never stop praising my God. Come on, amen. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Amen, hallelujah. He's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to share with you something. Share a little bit before, but I want to expound it a little bit, take it a little farther, and see where we go. All right? Thanks. Thanks. The hidden voice behind the tree. See, look, Dan is here. Amen. Hallelujah. James 4, 7 through 10. We actually shared this scripture last week, and I want to share it again because this is where this sermon came from. I want to just declare something to you. I want to just give you a simple understanding of just something that was in my heart this week. And the Bible says in James 4, 7, it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Submit. The word submit means to come under, to put in place an order, to put in its right place, to put in its rightful place. And God's declaring that if we submit to Him, if we surrender to Him, if we submit our will to Him, the things that sometimes overtake us, if we stop and just surrender it to God and we open ourselves up. I want you to know this is the reason. Tell someone this is the reason why God sent His Son. Amen? Because it couldn't be done by our outer works. It couldn't be done by something we tried to do with our own strength. Amen? We were given the commandments to follow and we broke every one of them. Come on. Amen? So I want you to understand something, that God gave us His Son that we can have a place. Amen? That we could come into the right place. And it's something that we do in our heart that we surrender to. That's why He's declaring that we submit and we begin to submit unto God into what God has for us, His will and His purpose in our lives. So we understand the scripture. It says to come in the right order and the enemy will flee from you. It goes automatically with that. But I want you to know that this is something that we all do. Come on, amen. And I want you to hear this, that sometimes we get out of God's GPS, God's positioning system. We begin to get outside of that. And what we do is we give the enemy our location. We surrender our location sometimes to the enemy by things that we do. And I'm going to clear this up and give you an understanding of this, of what I mean by this. But what we do is we begin to... Do you ever get those calls on your phones that you know you don't know the number? And you answer them and you say, why did I answer that? Does everybody get them? I just really thought I was popular. Boy, they want to talk to me. No, that's not what it is. This is one of the reasons why, is because I got a new phone, and the number that I had to get a new number was somebody else's sometime. But even though I got somebody else's number, it's not the same person. I want you to know that, I want you to understand that when you are in Christ, you're no longer the old self, amen? But you're brand new in Him, amen? You might look the same, but I want you to know that something has changed within you. I want you to understand that we have the power. I showed my wife today, listen, this is how you don't do this. This is what you do. And I showed her how to block that call. That you can block that call. Amen? You don't have to get those numbers every time. You don't have to get... And the way that we do that is if you submit yourselves under the hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Tell someone he's going to stop calling you if you stop answering. He has no power over you if you stop answering the phone. Sometimes the trouble we're in is because we answer the phone. We even got the caller ID and we still answer the phone. I do not know somebody from Sioux Falls. Or whatchamacallit, Vermont. Wherever those places are. I don't know who these people are, but sometimes there's some reason I answer those phones and I'm disappointed. We need to stop answering the phone. 1 Peter 5:6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand. There it is again. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. In due time. That word due time means kairos. means kerios. It means not just in a chronological time or a season, but in a kerios moment. It becomes an opportune time. It becomes an opportune. Tell someone opportune time. An opportune time that when you set yourself up, whenever you submit to God, you place yourself in a place for God to step in. Come on, amen. I want us to understand that this is what we do. That we place ourselves. Come on, I need to place myself in that place. Tonight you place yourself in an opportunity and a curious moment that God can bless you or speak to your heart or encourage you or strengthen you, amen, for the moments that you're entering into. For the things that you face in life. That you have this power, this equipping, and God wants to bless us with that. He says, and for times of battle that we face, or things that we go through in our lives. But he says, and be sober. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, say adversary, the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking to whom he may devour. So I want you to get this, know that he's my adversary, not God's. See, I want you to see this and understand this and know that if I place myself and submit myself to God and I place myself, cast my cares upon Him, then I put myself in a place where that the enemy isn't my adversary anymore. Why? Because I'm in Him. Colossians says that I am hid in Christ. I am hid in Christ. That the enemy cannot get my location. Why? Because my God positioning system is in Him. But he will begin to find my location. I send out my location when I step out of that place of surrender. When I put myself in a place, vulnerability, say vulnerable. We become vulnerable. And I want you to share with you the things that cause me to become vulnerable. It causes me to become weak. When I'm outside of that, when I'm not hid in him. Amen. Listen, I want you to know he's my adversary. The enemy's my adversary. But if I'm hid in Christ, he can't find me. Where's he at? Come on. Where's he at? Because I'm not answering the phone. But what happens is sometimes as we open the door and we set him a place setting. Come on, with our emotions. We set him a place to sit down with our fears and with our doubts. We invite him into our house. The Bible says in Matthew, it says that when God comes in and cleans out a house, of things that have tried to rob us. He says that the enemy goes around looking for a place to go, but if he comes back to that house, and if it's empty, he comes back in with seven of his friends. You know, that's what happens. See, because the enemy cannot find a place, we cannot let the enemy have a place in us. Don't give him any place. Don't give him space. Don't give him your coordinates. How do we give him our coordinates? I want you to know, listen, it's when we become submit ourselves to fears and doubts and lusts, anger, unforgiveness. Listen. And it says, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that these afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world also. Amen? So listen. Ephesians 4:27. I just want to share you these scriptures with you. Amen? Just keep them in your heart. Ephesians. Come on. Ephesians is the easiest place to find. Why? Because it's more ripped up than any place in my Bible. I have chunks of it. Fortunately, I have memorized those parts. Because they're not in there, but they're in here. Amen? Listen, Ephesians 4:27 says this, and it says, be ye anger and sin not, let not your sun, the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place, say give place, there it is again, to the devil. That means that we can give him place. We can find rest for him. Listen, and he says, and let him that stole steal no more. No, I'm going to stop right there, but let's go to 2 Corinthians. I just want to lay these scriptures out to you. 2 Corinthians 2:10. Second Corinthians, yeah. 2:10, there it is. He says this, he says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. And for if I forgave anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest the Satan should get an advantage of us. Say position, a place. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So I want you to see here, and I want you to understand that we could see here that there's something that happens to give him place. And one of those places is anger. Because what happens is it opens my heart up because I step out of the grace that God has given me, that's available for me, that he's given to me to walk in. His power and his strength. When I step into that place of anger, when I step into unforgiveness, when I step in a place of pride, he says, resist pride and be humble. See, because we can understand in those places when we begin to be prideful, that means that we say to ourselves, I do this. We're not submitting to a higher power. We're not submitting to the Almighty. We're surrendering ourselves to our own strength, to our own ability. And in that we become vulnerable and we give the enemy an advantage in our lives. And that is a doorway for him to enter into our lives. It becomes a place where he enters into our homes and begins to cause things to become havoc. He enters into that place where he begins to upset marriages and begins to divide. Because we hold on to an anger instead of taking hold of what is available that he has for us. We hold on to what we have. And we hold that anger. We hold that unforgiveness. He said forgive. Because I want you to know that in Christ we understand that I am forgiven. And if I am forgiven, then I cannot do anything else but forgive. See, because I understand that he has forgiven me. That if he is forgiving me, I have to do the same thing in return and forgive those that have trespassed against me. See, because in itself, I recognize and I begin to walk in that power that because he forgave me, I can forgive you. And then I find a place. And I begin to push the advantages the enemy might have away from my life. That I'm not prideful, that I'm not angry, that I don't hold on to those things to give the enemy an advantage. Because he's looking for a place to enter in. He's looking for a crack in a space. And that's why I'm so big on unity and oneness. Because the enemy will try to divide and try to get in between people in the church and try to cause you to disrupt one another and find something to be hurtful with or to say something. And the enemy will use that to step in and say, see, I told you, they're really not good people. Or they really don't love you. And we answer that call. The enemy trying to disrupt. Instead of saying, God, you're my strength. Trust in you, God. Amen? Am I making sense? I hope so. But this is what the enemy does. He tries to slander. This is what he did to God. He began to slander God. See, he says, he is the adversary. That means that he is the one accusing me. But when I'm hid in Christ, he has nothing to accuse me about. When I'm in my place with God, he has nothing to accuse me about. Why? Because I'm hid in Christ. No longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. And I remind the enemy of that. So I want you to see and understand that he is a slander. He tries to bring disruption. He tries to come in and disturb and cause chaos. So he did that with Adam and Eve right off the beginning. Adam and Eve was in the right place. They were in the right position. But what happened is they answered. They didn't block the call. The enemy began to slander God, telling them that happiness and hopefulness and understanding and wisdom was outside of obeying what God had for them. Outside. See, he was trying to get them outside because he couldn't touch them in a place of submitting because he'd have to flee. But because they opened their ears and answered the call, they heard his voice. And it brought them outside of that place that God prepared for them. and they had to go outside. And because of that, all the chaos we see in the world has entered in. Because we've given the enemy place that wasn't his. We've given him authority that wasn't his. God gave it to us, but we surrendered it. We can't surrender our authority. We surrender when we become angry, or we're unforgiveness, or we become prideful. We surrender the right that we have in God. And we become vulnerable to hurtfulness, to brokenness. So I want you to know that it's not God that causes that. It's the adversary trying to disrupt you and your life. Amen. Piper's amen. Listen, Psalms 90, there's a place for me. Amen. Psalms 90, verse 1. I think you'll get there faster. The Lord, thou hast been a dwelling place. He has been a dwelling place. Do you see this? I want you to get this. A dwelling place for all generations. Come on, amen. For all generations, He has been a dwelling place. A place that we can find refuge in. Amen? Listen to this. And Psalms 32:7. It says, Thou art my hiding place. There it is again. He says, Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Why? In that hiding place. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance in that hiding place. Proverbs 14:26. I just want you to have these. It says, In fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And the children shall have a place of what? Of refuge. See, that word fear means a place of submitting, a place of surrender, a place of recognizing that He is all-powerful, He's all-knowing, that He's mighty, that I surrender what I have to one who's greater than me. Amen? He says strong confidence, that I have strong confidence when I'm a place of fear, when I fear, when I trust God, when I'm fear. Amen? Do you get that? When I fear. He says, and His children shall have a place of refuge. I'm His child. Amen? I am His child. That I surrender to one who's all-powerful. That's good news. Listen. This is how He found that place. In Psalms... or in John 13. I just want to explain this to you. This is how we got our place. This is how we've been provided a place. Sometimes we jump through this scripture and we miss it. But it's right here for us to grab a hold of to understand. Sometimes we read these scriptures and these scriptures are always spoken at... When are they spoken? They're spoken at funerals. Listen, and he says, and Peter said unto him, or Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him. He says, where do you go? He said, where do you go? Because he heard God says that I have to go. I have to go. He says, whither I go, thou can't not follow me. You can't follow me now. Say now. See, I want you to know that he jumped right over that word. He said, now. You can't follow me now. He's saying that you will be able to follow me, but not now. Tell someone, not now. Not now. And he says, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And he says, and Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered him. He says, thou wilt lay down your life for me and for my sake? Verily, verily. Not really, he's saying. He says, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. I want you to see that, understand that. He says that before it gets daylight outside, you're going to deny me three times. As much strength that you think you have, and he's kind of getting to a place where that we become prideful, that we think we can do this on our own, in our own strength, and our own ability. I want you to know that you can't do it there. Amen? Come on, generations before have tried to walk with God or try to attain it or do something for God in their own strength, and they've missed the mark. And he's saying to him, he says, verily, he said, thou shalt not crow till thou hast denied me three times. And I want you to see this at this moment. It sounds like Peter is saying something like he's really wants to, I want to do the right thing, but I have power in my own self. And Jesus says this, because unfortunately, this goes straight through it. But this is what happens. It goes to verse 14 or chapter 14. You go from 13 to the end. And then what happens is we miss the mark that it doesn't really stop. But it continues through. And this is good encouragement. I want you to know that sometimes we read that last, we become disappointed because of what we heard, and we walk away frustrated, and that's when the enemy can kind of come in and kind of disrupt you. But we got to follow through. And he says this, I'm going to read it this way. He says, you have denied me, you will deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You're going to fail me, but let not your heart be troubled. You will fail me, but let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you, but I go to a place, prepare a place for you. I want you to know that, recognize something, that, yeah, God has prepared a place for me in heaven. But I want you to know more than just a mansion. That word means abode. That I go to prepare a place, an abode, a dwelling place for you. A place of refuge. You get the, see the scriptures? A place of refuge. Not some other day. See, that's great and that's nice. But no. There's one song that I get, and don't get mad at me, but I want to go home. I want to go home. You know, they talk about that. It kind of discourages me because it makes me think that there's no hope right now. Hope is where your heart is. Home is where your heart is. My heart's in Him. He's not some other place. Come on, amen. It's not some other day that I can embrace what He has for me. No. He wants me to embrace it now. He says, I go to prepare a place. Where was He going? He was going to the cross. He was going to the cross. And after that, He says, it is finished. He wasn't going to work after. He didn't have His tool belt on going to heaven saying, well, it's time to lay some block now. Kind of sounds funny, don't it? It does. See, I want you to know then what we're saying then is the cross didn't do enough. It did all that it needs to do. That's why He said it's finished. What I've done is enough to give you a place. A place that you could say, Emmanuel, God with me. That He is my dwelling place. Place of refuge. That I can say, I can forgive one another because of what He's done. And He says, let your heart be troubled, not be troubled, but believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abodes, habitations that I'm going to give you, that you could become a habitation of God. A habitation of God, a place. That's why it's so important for us to understand that what is He talking about? They'll give the enemy place because God wants that place. We need to give God His place. And He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare, can you look up Ezekiel 37:4, I think? He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And that's good news. That I will receive you to myself. He says, that where I am, you will be also. And again He said, prophesy unto me. This is a prophecy where He declared. He says, oh, you dry bones. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Next verse. Thou cost, the saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will, and thou shalt cover thy skin with living, and shall live. And you shall not know, you shall know that I am the Lord. Keep going. I knew it was in there. It was somewhere. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, yeah. And I shall put my spirit. Come on. I shall put my spirit where? In you. This has been the heart of God. That I will put my spirit in you. That I will have a place. And you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. I will place you, amen, in your own land of what He's done for me, that He will position me in the promised land, amen? Come on, the children of Israel were looking for the promised land. It was in Jesus Christ. It was in Jesus. He was the promised land, that place. Am I making sense? Thanks. He says, whither I go, you know, and the whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Then saith to him, Lord, we know not whither you go. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That is the place that He has us for. That's what He's given to us in Him. A place. A place that we fit. A place of surrender. That's how we have that opportunity. And I want you to know that we don't give up our place. I don't give up my place that He has given to me. That He died on the cross, that He purchased in my name. Come on, amen. That He purchased for me. A life that He purchased for me to have. Amen. That I might have life and have life more abundantly. He says, I want to place you in there. Don't step out to the right. Don't step out to the left. But stay within what I've placed you, where I have placed you. And it's in Christ. He said, well, I'm always in Christ. Yeah, but I want you to know that sometimes we begin to step out of that place with our thinking, a place of surrender, that we don't always submit. We don't always submit. We don't always come to that place of surrender. We step out of it with fears, with doubts, with those things. But we need to keep ourselves. We need to pay attention. We need to be awakened so that the enemy doesn't have an advantage. Does that make sense? Any questions? I just wanted to place that before you. I felt that it was needed for us to be at that place that we understand of how I got there. And as we come to the Christmas and understand that He sent His Son, that we can have a place. That we can have a place and say that I'm in Him. How did I get there? Do I have right to be there? Yes. I have the authority to stay in that place. He's given it to me. Don't surrender my place. Don't give up your spot. Sometimes we get in a place where we step out of our line. We step out of our position. I want you to know we always have a place in Him, but I want you to know that in the midst of stepping out of that, we give the enemy an advantage where he could cause chaos and destruction in our lives. When we step out of that place, that we don't want to give it to Him. Because He can become like a roaring lion. But I want to encourage you tonight that in Him, is a place of strength, of power, of might, of peace, of joy in Him. And in that place, I produce life, hope, peace, joy. The fruits of the Spirit. I have the ability to do that. To be the light to the world. Why? Because I know my place. It's in Christ. Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, Lord, that You've given us place. You've given us to God, Lord, a place because of what You've done on the cross, because of Your place of surrender, because of that position of Your position, You've given me place. You've given me position. Lord, a way to the Father. You said that if, to God, Lord, in You, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. To God, in You, in that place that I find truth, that we all look for. Lord, I find the way. The way that I search for. And I begin to find life. for what you've called me to live. Lord, I pray each one of us, to God, Lord, that we come to that place of surrender, God. And in the midst of this holiday season, to God, Lord, that we just become more aware that God is with us. This year, as we end this year and start into a new year, that you are with us. And you're with us and you've given us a place to call home in you. In your name we thank you. We'll declare that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they have some snacks for you downstairs, something. So come on downstairs real quick and grab something, encourage somebody, be with somebody, bless somebody. In Jesus' name, amen.